This is Confessions of a Pastor. A relentlessly real peek behind the scenes of Journey Church in Bend, Oregon. From church in a strip club to a strip mall, going where Jesus would go to reach people Jesus would reach. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all for the glory of God. A journey of misery and miracles. Your hosts are the founders, Pastor Keith and Kara. There really is hope for everyone.
Well, we are back, and a lot has happened, Kara, since our last episode. It was only just a week ago, or whenever that was, not too long ago, but the world's not the same.
Yeah.
And we have a lot to talk about. The good, the bad, the ugly, all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
That's what we say we do here on this podcast, and just regarding our personal lives, the church, and then not even nationwide, worldwide, we have seen a massive shift in what's happening, what's going to happen, and it's worthy of talking about right now.
Yeah, it is.
And we had a powerful Sunday just yesterday at Journey Church, coming off of just a week of a world where we were shocked. We were completely blown away with the murder and assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those moments that God's given us an opportunity as a church to rise up.
Yeah, I agree.
To respond to a tragedy and witness what God does as he brings triumph out of tragedy.
Yeah.
That's what he
does. And we're seeing that. Like, we're starting to see that the response to this is, it's widespread. It's a widespread turning to Jesus is how it feels. People,
massive movement.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's the beginning of something really much bigger than any of us could have ever imagined.
Amen. I know that's personally for me. I mean, that day it happened, it was like a lot of people that saw the tens of thousands of social media posts, and the whole news was inundated. It was like the world stopped.
Yeah.
When that happened, and there was instant grief. I don't think anyone could have predicted that one gunshot would start a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's radical. And it's either you're in the revolution or you're not.
Yeah.
And I was just sharing with you, like, getting sucked into the vortex of social media this morning, witnessing people really upset at their churches for not even mentioning it today. But then
yesterday.
What did I say?
Today.
I'm sorry. It's a holy hangover.
Yesterday.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
It's like I'm still recovering from church yesterday. But most churches, and I say most, at least life-giving churches that care about the times in which we're living in.
Yeah.
They tended to seize the opportunity to point people to Jesus, to recognize what's happening, to honor Charlie Kirk's life in some way. And I don't think there's like a right way to do that.
Right.
You know, like a moment of silence is powerful.
Yeah.
You know, preaching God's word is powerful.
Yeah.
Praying for Erica, Charlie Kirk's wife, is powerful.
I
do think, though, it demanded a response.
Absolutely.
From the church.
Yeah. And I think your response, you know, was all of those things and more. It was a call to action, really, which I very much appreciated, because, you know, I think we both just kind of live by the philosophy of, like, life is short, make something of your life.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that, you know, that you called people to was just make your life count. Like, look at this example, look at how he lived and the impact that he had in his 31 years.
Amen.
It was tremendous.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I got your help a lot last week, just even in wrestling with thoughts and what to do and how to do it. You know, you make your plans. What's that psalm?
Yeah. And then, but God directs your steps. It's true.
Directs your steps. And Sunday, I would say, was one of those days where I had planned, you know, heart for the house. We're going to do more updates. And then these are the moments, though, is, you know, I mean, no exaggeration, that it demands us to seriously,
absolutely
respond to the moment. And for me, Kara, it was a call to action, and not a call to action like a one-time moment, but like a really guttural response to say, what am I doing with my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to witness the so many, who knows how many videos, tens of thousands of videos that are going around with the sound bites of Charlie Kirk, and some of them just beautifully edited, you know, with dramatic music and so forth. And it's like, this guy was 31 years old.
Yeah.
And the world's responding.
Yeah.
Every professional sport is responding. Politicians are responding. The church is responding.
Well, he made a tremendous impact.
It's wild.
Yeah. Particularly in the young generation on college campuses, which are, you know, mostly pagan.
Yes.
And his impact. And then you watch his videos and I didn't follow him that carefully prior to this. Mm-hmm. I of course knew who he was. I followed him a little bit, but not a ton. And as I got more and more into the videos that people were posting and that were on his sites and things, I'm like, this guy stood for the truth.
Amen.
And just core biblical beliefs and truth. And
let's go. That what you're describing is the call to action.
Yes.
Is God real to you? Is the word of God real? And what do you do?
Yes. How do you respond if it is?
It's not every single person has to now go to a secular university and debate pagan people, because not everyone has the wisdom and the wit and, you know, the great intelligence that he had at a very young age to be able to do that. But we all can make much of our lives by getting in the word of God, knowing the word of God, and responding to the great grace of Jesus.
Yes.
Constantly coming back to Jesus.
Yes.
And constantly recognizing who you are. You know, so many of the sound bites are just him trying to identify with the person behind the mic who's not a believer in Jesus and just simply saying, I'm a sinner who's believed in Jesus, saved by grace, that not through good works, not by being a better person, but through faith.
It was just gospel truth that he spoke.
Yes. And clearly, though, it was enough to get a man killed.
Yeah.
You know, it's the very thing that got Christ crucified. And I think some Christians have been intimidated to celebrate the life of Charlie Kirk as if not to, not to elevate him and, keep Christ at the center. But here's the reality is Charlie Kirk's life pointed us to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is a life well lived.
Yeah. You know? Amen. And he was well-rounded. Like you look at the stuff about the stuff that he stood for with family and how he loved his family, his wife and his kids so well. Like he wasn't just making an impact on culture at large. Right. He was also making an impact, a micro impact on his own family.
Amen.
And the two of those together it's unstoppable.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think there was a few years over the last 5 years that society as a whole felt like it was going down the toilet. And I think most of the church, and without exception, I've been even in that camp of like, what do we do with the radicalization of the government changing morality right in front of our eyes? And he engaged in it.
Yeah.
He didn't shy back. He wasn't angry. You know, he was willing to intellectually say, well, let's just talk about the truth, because if it's a lie, it can't stand.
Yeah.
And he would deconstruct so many of the lies that are in our culture today. And I believe that's now the fire that's burning is just to simply say there is a truth that can be tested.
Yeah.
It's eternal. And we know who it is. It's Jesus Christ. He's the way and the truth and the life.
Right.
It's not just cliche, something preached from the pulpit. It can be the reality that shapes culture, that shapes governments, that shapes people. You know, that this isn't something, it's not religion, it's not political.
Yep.
It's just the truth of Jesus.
Yep.
It should shape who we are.
Yes.
And that's what I even felt like at church yesterday, is when the Holy Spirit showed up at Journey, it wasn't the radicalization of a message. It wasn't, well, Charlie Kirk had this message, or come on, we need to fight for politics. It was literally turning our hearts to what are we doing with our lives?
Yeah.
And there were moments like in worship with that song, Send Me. And there's lines of the lyrics of that song that just, you can tell this is a pivotal moment.
Yeah.
That we're going to look back, that this is our, and I mean, no exaggeration or comparison, because it's going to be new and defined uniquely, but this is our Jesus revolution.
Yeah.
This is going to be our great awakening. This is the moment of greater things.
Yeah. And we personally on a personal level, we have a choice. Like we have a choice to say, yes, send me or no. Like we do have a choice.
Yes. And not cliche. Like I do think there are Christians out there that are going to, you know, from the outset, agree with the message and then not change. What will happen is Jesus said, you will tell a tree by its fruit.
Yeah.
as was the case with Charlie Kirk. You can just tell the tree by its fruit. Yeah. There's no question about it. Some people are talented musicians. They're powerful politicians. And then we look at their lives and say, ugh, but at the same time, we don't know the state of their soul. We know the state of Charlie Kirk's soul. And I think that's the defining line for us as a church, is to point as many people as we can to the truth of Jesus, because that's what's lasting for eternity.
Yeah.
Not what mark did you leave on whatever sphere of influence you're in, but to your point earlier, the value of making a lasting impact on your wife, on your children, on the people around you. And it's awesome. And I think we have an opportunity, Kara. This is our opportunity. What is that going to look like for the church? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I have a holy anticipation that the church is going to rise up and say, yes, send me. And I don't mean send me to the other side of the world, metaphorically speaking. I mean, yes, I will live like Jesus is real.
Amen.
I'm ready to.
Like, if I need to say hard things, I'm going to stand up for the truth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cower. If I need to do hard things, I'm not going to choose the path of least resistance. I'm going to do them.
Yeah. You know, in a culture that is continually more and more pagan, or, you know, in opposition to God's ways.
Yeah.
It's becoming harder and harder to do. But this was like a rally cry.
Yes.
Like, it's time. Like,
amen.
Don't waste your life.
Let's go.
Use the breath in your lungs, use the life that God's given us and do something with it. It's like, a call too, to just as Jesus followers, as Christians, to get into the word
and
let it transform you from the inside out.
Right.
Like, get into it regularly and just let it just bring life to you.
Amen.
And let it change you.
I totally agree. And this is where, you know, I set you up with that question, because you can't predict movements. You can't predict revivals, but what we can say we can say confidently that we can see the signs of the time. We are seeing something in our lifetime.
Yes.
For me, close to 48 years old this week is my birthday.
Thursday.
At 48 years old, and for you, 47 years old, I can genuinely say there's been nothing like this in our lifetime.
Yeah,
you know,
I would agree.
There have been significant moments. 9/11 was one of those redefining moments for our nation and the world. You know, the way travel was, the way the world, 9/11 was one of those moments. We have seen some massive tragedies. You know, we've witnessed on television some awful things, you know, with the power of media. But this, I don't even want to say it feels different. It is different. And so, although I asked you the question, what is this going to look like? None of us knows.
Right.
With the exception that all we know is we're not going to do things the same. Like, prayers are going to be more genuine.
Yeah.
You know, when we do prayer meetings at the church now, we're leaning into the presence of God. And I felt like when we did Church in the Park just a few weeks ago, I felt an impression in my heart that God told me revival is not going to happen at a big event like this.
Mm.
I felt like it was going to happen when those who are truly pursuing God, that's when the Spirit of God is going to let us know that, and we're going to respond to the Spirit of God. That's revival. And I believe it could happen through 100 people at a worship prayer gathering, or it could happen like we're starting to see now, but we're witnessing the hunger of people.
I don't know exactly what the definition of revival is, but I think there's potentially different types of revival, right?
Here, let's ask Siri.
Okay.
What's the definition of revival? Oh, she's on silent because we're doing this. So let's see here. Revival is an improvement in the condition or strength of something. An improvement in the condition or strength of something. So
it could look any myriad of ways.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about revival, like, you're maybe talking about
a spiritual revival.
The glory of God showing up,
amen,
right?
Yes.
In a moment, over a period of time where there's, you know, miraculous manifestations and things like that.
I'm talking about large response to salvations, signs and wonders, and a clear transformation of lives through the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That would be a very loose paraphrase to me without, you know, thinking of a more clear.
I think this could be the beginning.
Yes. Because we're seeing that.
I mean, from what I saw, and I can't, like, attest this outside of our own church, Journey Church. Yeah. Journey Church was full yesterday. I am fairly certain that was like widespread nationally that churches that were alive, that are alive,
amen.
They were full yesterday.
Yes. And we had 24 adults, not including any kids, who gave their lives to Jesus yesterday. 24. And that's not abnormally great for us. But you can tell the ones that said yes were genuine and sincere, and there was a desire. And the people that chose to wait in line to talk to me after the services were sincere. And I made just a small video this morning just recognizing the movement that we're living in. And it was maybe just a 1 or 2 minute video. And I want to just say this is where we're seeing things that we've never seen before, ever. Like, I've never seen the things that we're experiencing. I mentioned to you right before the podcast started, Kara, about that video, which I'm not being profound or, you know, eloquent in my words. I'm just simply recognizing the times that we're living in.
Yeah.
Scripture that stood out to me was Isaiah 66, where God says, I'm looking for the humble and those that get in the word. Mm. And that just stood out to me because I'm like, that feels like, could a great awakening happen through humility and getting in the word? That's what God's looking for.
Absolutely.
And this guy responds to me on Instagram. He DMs me and says, I'm just going to read this because he doesn't give his name and I'm not going to share his name. It just says, hey, Keith, this message just brought me to tears. And I'm over here thinking like, man, it was just so simple. This message brought me to tears. I've been struggling with bad anxiety, which raises my blood pressure. I've just been stressed. I've been overthinking and I just want to give it all to God and to my wife and my daughters, and I want to go to your church. Sometimes I go, sometimes I don't. Okay. Which I haven't been because of the way I've been feeling. But then hearing this message gives me hope. I have my Bible in front of me, but I don't know where to start. You say open up the Bible, but my question is, where do I start?
Praise God. This is the revival that I'm talking about.
This is the fruit. This is the, I'm just like, my response to him is, bro, like, first, I'm grateful that he responded because God's prompting his heart. So that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When God prompts your heart, you only have two options.
Yeah.
What you said earlier, here I am, send me.
Yeah. Okay. Or God, reject it.
I'm feeling something in my life. I need to do something in my life. And this guy, he decided to do something. And just to paraphrase my answer to him, as I told him, get in the book of John, look at the life of Jesus, learn about the life of Jesus, ask Jesus to speak to you.
Yeah.
You know, and as we did this, we went back and forth in dialogue. And I encouraged him to be strong and courageous and to not be afraid. And just the word of God alone ministers, heals, equips.
Oh, it does.
And transforms. And changes us from who we are. His last message to me is, I'm an emotional wreck right now. Thank you, Pastor Keith. And I wrote to him, 2 Timothy 1:7. I said, you got to start reading scripture aloud. You need to start telling your family what God's teaching you.
Yeah.
It's like, Kara, if one guy, the power of one guy.
It's not going to be just one.
No.
This is why it feels different. Exactly.
Yay.
It feels like the beginning of, it feels like the rumblings of revival.
Yes.
Because people are, they're turning to the truth. They're curious and they're broken. We live in a world that has, I'm pretty sure, has gone mad. And,
well, because good is defined as evil.
Yes.
And the hatred towards goodness.
Yes.
As evil of, you're taking away my rights. You're Nazis. You are the evil ones for simply promoting family values.
Right.
For promoting
biblical truth,
God-centered truth.
Yes.
About how he designed us, created us.
Yes.
How he tells us to thrive. And the moment you do that, well, you are oppressing us with religion.
Right.
And it is a wild day that we're living in, but the light in this dark world has certainly become brighter than ever before.
Absolutely.
It's that, you know, the light shine in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Where is that? In 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to look that up real quick because that's the truth, is you cannot snuff out light. You can snuff out the darkness. And the only way to do that is with the light.
Right.
But the reality is, if darkness steps in to the light, you can't overcome it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think for a while we were discouraged, but the truth is now we're seeing a rising unlike anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I would have done this earlier, But now that it's like, we're seeing it and we're experiencing it. And like I said, on Wednesday, I didn't know what to do with it. By Thursday, it was clear. Do something.
Yeah.
We have to respond.
Yeah.
We can't just sit back and be silent. And I think we've talked about this before, which by the way, I'm talking about 1 John 1:5. This is the message we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. I'm going to go to verse 7 of 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This is not exactly the one I was looking for, but it is good, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. It is somewhere in 1 John. I'm going to find it before the end of the podcast, and we will celebrate it and proclaim it. But I think for me, Kara, one of the things that has stopped me from doing what we're doing right now, and we've talked about this on this podcast, and it's been a process, we could be cliche and call it a journey, is eradicating the fear of man and exchanging that with the fear of God.
Mm. So good.
It's the key.
It is.
To thriving in life and being who God destined, designed, and purposed every human to be.
Yeah.
There's only one thing we should fear in life, and it's God. And if you don't grasp that, it's an oxymoron until you understand the seriousness of how great it is to fear God, because the very God that you fear is the very God that's for you, the very God that blesses you, the very God that provides for you, the very God that is kind and faithful and good. He's a good God.
Yeah.
And the ones that don't fear him are the ones that will face the radical reality of his justice.
Yeah.
Of his judgment, of his truth, of the standard that he is himself, fully, completely, perfectly, supreme, holy.
Yeah.
And he cannot tolerate any form of wickedness. And so when you fear God, you have the reverence that he is perfect, but then you accept the free gift of God's grace, and it changes everything. But I will say, the devil is a liar, and he's really good at it. I'm speaking for myself here. Because even the last week, some of the nastiest emails I've gotten still cause my heart to race, cause my blood pressure to rise, and cause fear to stir my heart. But as we've both done over the last week, I have blocked people faster than I've ever blocked them before. I have stopped reading messages, which I'm not actually sure I've ever done that in my life until this week, where if I see that this is not going to benefit me and it's not worth engaging with someone, I'm not going to read this message, because you've already determined your hatred. You don't want to actually dialogue or have conversation. You're just spewing evil.
Yeah.
And so I don't need to tolerate that, nor do I need to fear you. So you know what I'm going to do? Block you, my friend.
Yeah.
You don't get access to my message box. You know, you don't get that place. And you see that with Charlie Kirk's dialogues. I watched this one where this guy literally is asking to fight him. Like, let's fight. He's like, I'm 71 or 61. Like, he was older than Charlie Kirk. I think he was 61. And he's like, let's fight. I could take you out. And Charlie Kirk is like, what the heck are you talking about? He's, right? He's like, a gentleman's fight. You know, he's like, I'll take you out. I'll beat you up. And he's like, we're not here to do that.
Right?
I'm here to debate. So let's debate. He's like, I don't want to debate. I want to prove you wrong and beat you up. And he's like, that's the problem.
Is right?
You're resorting to violence instead of the truth.
And look at ultimately what took him out.
Kara, this kind of stuff is eerie now.
Yeah.
Because when you've come up with a conclusion and you're full of hatred, you're not even open to the curiosity and to the openness of what is truth. And if you're not open to truth, you're not open to Jesus Christ, because he is truth, you know? And so this is the place right now that it's a defining line. And this is where I feel like God has been on this journey with me personally to eradicate the fear of man, surrender fully to the fear of God. And when you do that, anything is possible.
Yeah. I mean, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right?
Yeah, so, amen. So it took me 48 years to actually just get a drop of wisdom. Let's go.
I mean, that's not a... Like, that's a really hard thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Kirk got it, though, as a teenager. So that tells you that you can have the wisdom of God early.
Oh, absolutely.
But a lot of people, this guy that I'm referring to was in his last years and never even got a drop of God's wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, this is like where all of us have the same equal opportunity to fear God, gain wisdom,
right,
and make much of our lives for his
glory. Totally. And just have... place King Jesus as the king of your life, you know, like that's where it starts. Like you just, I think when we understand the truth of Jesus and who he is and who he is to us and how good and loving and kind and gracious God is. And I don't even know where I'm going other than like,
you respond.
Yeah.
It changes you.
It changes you.
You're transformed.
It has to. Otherwise, it's just religion. And
that's the soapbox we're getting on right now. And that's one, boy, it has way more weight saying something like this now. But it's like, that's the hill I'll die on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't mean that lightly. That is like really weird to use a phrase like that now in our culture.
Yeah.
But I mean it with the seriousness of what happened to Charlie Kirk's life. It was motivating. It was inspiring. I mean, frankly, it's like, it's very emotional, but at the same time, that verse, we do not grieve as those who do not have hope. Kara, over the last 5 years, we've had so much grief in our lives, you know, the loss of people. I mean, young people, old people, and everything in between. And now it's like, here's somebody we didn't even know that you can grieve the life of it. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we know that he knew Jesus and he died very quickly. Mm-hmm. I even talked to a surgeon who was just affirmed that his mind would have gone out quickly because how much loss of blood there was. And just to think of the goodness of God that he's glorified. Mm-hmm. We grieve on this side of heaven for all of those who are going to hurt until they're glorified and or dead and separated from God, which is that should burden us. Eternity is real. But we know that his life was in our understanding of short, was short. 31 years.
Yeah.
In eternity's sense, 80 years is short.
Yeah.
But we do know that he's made so much of it that now he's glorified, that is inspiring to say, I want to make more of my life.
Yeah. Amen.
I want my life to mean something.
Yeah.
And it's not to be in exaggeration that it hasn't already been. You know, we've been sowing seeds of the gospel for a very long time. And all this has done for us, though, is to increase that harvest.
Like, I mean, we talked about before on this podcast, like we go from glory to glory.
Let's go.
You know, in our faith. Like, he's taking us from one level to the next. And I feel like it's just the next level.
Amen.
It's like,
that's a good word.
We planted Journey Church, you know, 15, closer to 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been hard. But we've always, you know, really sought to reach people, to bring the kingdom here and to reach people for Jesus. But this is just, it's just the next level.
Yes. We've done that really well. And now it's our time to ask God for more.
Yeah.
This absolutely. And we've been doing that. I think on some level we've been doing that and not knowing the fullness of what it is. And there's a lot of things I'm leaning into prophetically right now, just that we are celebrating a 2-year initiative at Journey that we called More, that was fully based on a scripture that I feel like God put on my heart years ago out of Ephesians 3:20. It's just been a prophetic picture to me now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Mm-hmm. So God, he put that on my heart. I had that scripture. We threw it out there. And that just vision keeps expanding, Kara.
Yeah, because that verse doesn't like, you don't, I feel like there isn't like a shelf life on that.
No, it doesn't like, until you're with God in glory.
He can continually do more.
Yeah, I mean, he has to. Like, more churches need to be planted. More schools need to experience revival. More people need to come to Jesus. More healings need to happen. Like, literally, like, it never stops. Like, if you really meditate on God's word, and I actually shared this with your mom on Sunday about meditating on God's word. Mm. I just essentially told her, this is the cure to your problems right now. You need to chew on God's word. And when you think you got it, you need to swallow it and let it come back up to your belly. I use the illustration of cows, which is a really crude illustration, but they have all these different stomachs and they only eat one thing, grass.
Yeah.
And the grass goes, you know, they chew it, you know, with these flat teeth, and then they get the nutrients and it goes into their bellies and then it comes back up. They chew it, and it goes back into a different belly. It's like, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly, but that's the concept of meditation.
Right.
Is like, you don't release God's word. It goes into your belly and then you bring it back up and you chew on it again until that's all you know. And next thing you know,
It's who you are.
It's a substance. Like, how can a cow get so fat off of grass? You know, they're just meditating on grass day and night.
Yeah.
You know, and I would just say for us, and I don't want to get fat with it. I want to get strong.
Yeah.
You know, I want it to be, you know, Jesus described himself, I am the bread of life. It's our sustenance. It's our strength. It's our joy. Mm-hmm. It's a taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Enjoy the word of God. Chew on the word of God. Like, but you've got to get in it and you've got to meditate on it. Meaning you've got to chew it and swallow it and with all crudeness, throw it back up and chew it again.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
Keep it like, and that's one of those verses that I would say, like Isaiah 43:18-19, Ephesians 3:20 has marked me.
Yeah.
And it may mark me until the day that I die.
Yeah.
And I love how verse 21 is, now to him be the glory through the church. Now forever, and forever and ever.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And that's, it's just a mark that the church, come on, wake up, dream bigger, pray bigger. God's not done. He could, you prayed for this. You got it. Come on. That means that prayer wasn't enough. Pray. You don't have that healing yet. Pray.
Yeah.
Like keep praying.
Absolutely.
And that is where I love the response from a lot of people. It's not everyone. I don't think Great Awakenings and revival impact everyone.
No, they don't.
You know, but right now, more than ever, certain scriptures are coming alive. When Jesus talks about the lukewarm church, that's coming alive.
Mm.
You will tell right now, in our day, which churches are lukewarm.
Mm.
You want to just keep doing the same thing? That you're lukewarm. What Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he says, these are the last days. And in the last days, people will be complacent.
Yeah.
Paul tells Timothy that the people will want to be tickled in their ears. Mm. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to receive hard things.
Yeah.
And there are going to be some churches that continue to tickle ears in the midst of some of us standing up with our shofars, crying out the bullhorn, we are at war.
Yeah.
And for clarity's sake, if anybody's made it this far in the podcast and they're wondering, this is a spiritual war.
Yeah.
Our weapons are not the weapons of man. It's not
right.
These aren't carnal of the flesh. These are spiritual weapons. As I told the church on Sunday, this is time for us to unite. Do what we prophesied a few years ago, or was it just last year? I can't remember. With a, you know, equip the saints and unleash the army. It's our time to unite with the armor of God, and that is the same truth of God, the righteousness of God, salvation, the good news of peace, and our shields of faith right now more than ever. And then, of course, our weapon is the word of God.
Yeah,
that is our rhema. That's we speak it forth, and it's our sword. That's how we deconstruct the enemy with
amen.
Our words.
Well, and I love your picture of meditation and chewing and just allowing God's word to just satisfy the soul and give us nutrients. And I started a women's
not
Bible
the news,
study,
by the way.
No,
and not the news, not your own thoughts that consume you, not your past sin.
Exactly.
You know,
who
not
am
the pain
I?
Of somebody
who,
else.
Who does God say I am?
What's God's word say?
What does God's word say is the will for my life?
Amen.
And I don't mean something specific. I mean the will for our life being pray continually.
Yes.
Give thanks.
Yes.
Rejoice
always.
Rejoice always. Like that's what he wants for
Hallelujah.
Us.
Hallelujah.
So anyway, I started women's Bible study this morning, A Journey, and it's a great study by Christy McClellan, in the book of Acts. And one of the things that she's taught, me personally, and this is just, one of her, bents is to teach, you know, she calls herself a biblical culturalist. And so she is like one with Israel. She takes groups there all the time. And she teaches through the lens of the culture of the early church.
Yes.
And, one of the things that she really teaches,
hold on. Oh, just making sure your mic.
I think we're good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it
almost lost it
power.
There.
Keep going.
One of the things that she teaches,
Bible study teaches. Yep.
Yeah, is that the early church, like the Jewish culture, was one of feasting on the word. Like they knew what that meant.
Mm.
We are so influenced by the Greeks
Western,
and
by a
Western philosophy that is academia and it's knowledge. And the early church,
Jewish
religion, it was how has this transformed me? Like, yes. Not how do I understand? They were okay sitting in scriptures that they didn't fully understand.
They're question argumentative people. And they're still like that today.
Yes.
So you say this scripture, but how does that scripture apply to me? What does that scripture mean? How does that scripture compare to that? And there is a place there where if I argue this, it's actually what's profound about what you're saying about the Jewish culture. It's what Charlie Kirk did.
Yes, I totally agree.
That if we argue,
yes,
it doesn't mean I love you less.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that, you know, we can't still be respectful and honoring, because when you go to Israel, the Jewish people, they're proud of their argumentative nature.
Yeah.
It's not weird to them. Like, if we argue over a car stall, that doesn't mean I'm going to take out a gun and kill you because
not so good.
You offended me.
Right.
It's, I just want to prove my point that I thought I should get the car stall.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It's not the same road rage we have in our Western culture with I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And to prove it, I'm going to take out your life. Like,
yeah.
We have come to this dramatic.
Yeah.
And what's crazy about what you're saying, Kara, is that is the culture that Jesus brought the gospel out of. And if we don't learn that, we don't learn the whole culture. We don't learn the whole truth, the whole context.
I totally agree.
Yeah, we're taking like sound bites and TikTok version of Christianity.
And we're filtering it through a Western lens.
Yes. It's true. And I think God's bringing us back to the purity of the truth. And the Beatitudes speak for themselves. And I heard Charlie Kirk say them all the time. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yeah.
When we're pure in this and we have the pure motivation that I just want the truth.
Yeah.
And if I argue with you and if it comes down to it that you're right and I'm wrong, then I submit to that and I learn, I grow, and mind blown here, my character grows.
Yeah.
I actually become a better person because I have to humble myself and recognize there's more to this world than me being right about everything.
Absolutely.
We were just talking about that recently, how in the humility of the Holy Spirit, how God causes our hearts to repent more.
Yeah.
You know, things like you told me specifically, the example you gave is I've repented of judgment.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll judge people because they'll like bother me. And they'll piss me off. They'll offend me. I'll just literally be like, I don't want to be their friend. I wouldn't want them to come to my church. And then they end up being my friend and coming to my church, you know, or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh Lord. And then I have to say, God, I misjudged the situation, even though I was offended, even though in that moment I didn't like them. But later,
well, it's the
God
beauty.
Proved.
This is the beauty of God's kingdom, of his word, of biblical truth, is like repentance is actually a beautiful thing.
It's a change thinking.
It's like, I'm going to change my thinking.
Yes.
I was thinking one way, but gosh, goodness, I was so wrong. Like, I maybe don't have full understanding of everything.
And
maybe God can change my heart.
Come on.
So it's just the beauty of repentance. It's you've talked about it so much over the years. Like, it's just the word has gotten such a bad rap in this in this society that we live in. But it's actually a beautiful thing to be able to sit across the table from somebody and say, I'm really sorry that I used to think this and I'm wrong.
Amen.
And I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. In the moment I was emotional, in the moment I had limited understanding, in the moment I could only see what I could see.
Yeah.
But God, because now I've matured, because he's revealed to me more than I fully understood, because the Holy Spirit's worked on my heart.
Because transformation is continually happening.
Hey, amen.
Like, I'm, you know, and then to create a community or a space for people that accept it, you know, that give grace. It's one of our core values at Journey is to be grace givers. It's like, we don't, this cancel culture, it's not biblical.
No. And I think what happens is we go on the pendulum, and you've talked about this, and I want to just mention this too, your prophetic word the last few years of you've talked about how this culture has been so radicalized by cell phones and short messages and everything, screen. You've talked about how eventually this pendulum is going to swing.
I believe
and we're going to see a shift.
Yes.
But I think what typically happens on this pendulum of life is there's either grace, which comes about as liberality of morals and, you know, your truth is your truth, and grace has no meaning of truth. It's just this idea of love, of feelings. Let's all get along. You know, like, I'll just love love you for loving you. And we heard this a lot the last 5 or 6 years. Yeah. Love is love.
Love is love.
And there's no definition, which the Bible says God is love. So then we have to go off of the basis of, okay, who is God?
Yeah.
Not just love is love.
Right.
You know, so we've redefined love. And but then on the truth side, I think we've seen this abusive, oppressive religious side that simply says, I'm right, you're wrong. Yeah, you can't be in my club.
Yeah.
We're going to all look the same. We're going to all sound the same. Yep. And I think what Charlie Kirk provocatively did, even though he had a very conservative look to himself, the people that were willing to debate with him were very colorful. They were there. And he respected them.
And he was willing to go get into their world.
Engage with them.
Yeah, it's like, yes. One of the other things that I'll bring back the Bible study that I'm doing with the ladies at the church, like, it's one of the things that she teaches is that the kingdom is outward facing. Like, at the moment that we turn inward and think that this life is about us, or that we are a holy huddle, like you've preached against, like, we've lost it.
Yes. So the pendulum is not over here on the right, is not over here on the left. And I am not even going to say it's in the middle. It's completely separate.
Yeah.
Because the fullness of who Jesus is grace and truth.
Right.
And that's where I think when we get a taste of that, when we see it, when we experience it, it's an encounter with a living God that he loves me. He does hate my sin. And even the word hate, as you and I have talked about in the last week or so with the scripture where Jesus says, you must hate your life to actually receive his life. And it's not hating yourself the way we understand it. It's not this degrading of yourself.
No.
Like, I'm going to do self-harm physically, emotionally. No. It's actually despising what's not of God and receiving what is of God.
Absolutely.
And you are made in God's image. You are created in his image to therefore reflect him, to be conformed, Romans 8 says, into the image of Christ.
Yeah, and sin leads to death. He God is life. There's life and life abundant in Jesus. There is no death. So that's why he hates sin.
Yes. I agree with you. And I think just reflecting even on my own heart, and for any listener that's still wrestling with, that's made it with us this far, is to simply say that that is the Christian life. I read it earlier in 1 John, which is, if you claim to have no sin, you're a liar.
Yeah.
You are a liar. You need the light of Jesus to come into your life and light up your heart and just expose to you the things that are not of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the things that are not of God?
Yeah. And you know, one of the stories that comes to mind in the Gospels when you talk about just who Jesus is and the balance of grace and truth, like, one of like the primary stories to me that sticks out is the woman caught in adultery. Like, he just shifted, like, you know, so much in that in that moment, in that scene. But like, he gave her just this beautiful protection and grace. So there's grace, but then there's truth with it, because then he said, go and sin no more.
Amen.
And it was like, it's like this perfect example of grace and truth.
Yes.
And,
he's a defender, but then he also liberates us from our past.
From our sin. So, like, he doesn't want us to live in death.
I'll defend you from the people that are judging you, condemning you, shaming you, but then I'm going to liberate you from all of those things.
Yeah.
And send you out on a new identity.
Yeah. To stop living in death. That's the charge.
Yes. So good.
So good.
Here's the revolution. I said first John 1:5. It is John 1:5 that I really wanted to mention. And I think it really comes down to what we're even talking about, sin and repentance. And it's John's introduction of Jesus when he says, in the beginning was the Word. And then he goes on to explain, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 5 says, the light, this is John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. And that is a key right now. This was true 2,000 years ago. And this is true right now, that we saw darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it.
Yep.
And this is going to be the test of the times for every person that claims to be a Christian. Mm. Are you going to let the light shine in this dark world?
Yeah. And we have to be in the world to let the light shine.
Amen. That's the truth.
We
right
can't
there.
Recluse from it.
Yeah. And continually come back to it. And this is our call to action. And I'm very excited about this right now, Kara. I'm still unable to fully articulate it, but we are in the beginnings of the rumblings of what we've called revival, but I think it's more. I think we're seeing a worldwide great awakening, and it's not because of Charlie Kirk. God in his sovereignty saw this time suited. He will use anything at any time in his perfect sovereign will. This is the mystery of why things happen, when they happen, is to, no matter what, continue to trust God and witness him work it for good. Witness him turn things around, bring beauty out of the ashes, bring a massive movement of you know, college students now interested. Who is this? People going to church again. I mean, it's like, okay, let's steward this. Let's go. let's not.
And out of a death.
Yes. Let's not just say, I think what always drives me nuts about death, and this is for any death, no matter who it is life just moves on. Especially in our Western world.
It's true.
We don't grieve very well. You know, in the Jewish culture, you know, particularly in the biblical times, you would put on sackcloth, which is uncomfortable. You would shave your head. You would take ashes and people would see it on you. There was a pause and a change in life's rhythm to just grieve, to recognize that life is gone. Today, we grieve, but we don't. We're not shifted by it. Like, we don't change by it. And I just, I'm sensing that this grief is God taking us. I even appreciate, we said it earlier, to a whole different level. Christ is coming soon. This is not the church needs to go evangelize the world. Missions needs to increase. Churches need to be planted.
Totally.
We need to disciple people. We need to baptize them, teaching them all that he's commanded.
Absolutely.
The message is our, we don't have to come up with the message.
We just have to be willing.
Yeah, the gospel's already written. The word of God is already canonized. We just have to.
We have to be willing. We have to be willing to give up our lives.
Yes.
And say yes. And it's not easy. It's not an easy life.
Amen.
Like, we had a conversation just the other day, and you know, you were honestly just reflecting on, you know, our life and. Ministry is hard. It's church is hard. And, you know, just there's times where I feel the same. Like, we both have this call to more. Like, I don't think either of us will ever be satisfied.
No.
On this side of heaven. And,
not until we're in glory.
Just the reflection of, like, I wish I didn't have that sometimes. I wish I didn't have a call to more. I wish I could just be content in, you know, In I don't know, for lack of a better word, I guess mediocrity, or just simplicity. But
we have to unpack that, because I'm not sure everyone will understand what you're describing. So let's just unpack that a little bit, because what you're describing, I don't think is the norm today.
So
let's maybe,
because frankly, we have a hedonistic culture. I think that's a part of why.
And a culture that has not yet encountered God on different levels too. So they don't know what the next level from glory to glory looks like. All they know is what they know. So the way I would maybe just verbally process out loud what you're saying, or maybe to give the listener an understanding of what we're saying, is we have so many testimonies at Journey. I mean, so many. Our numbers are high, way higher than the average churches in America. The spiritual fruit is just absolutely beautiful. And to God be the glory for the lives saved, the baptisms that represent new life, any type of discipleship that happens in the form of Rooted or any of the women's Bible study, that's just the beginning of greater things to come in terms of community at Journey. Like, all of those things, they're great. We just opened up 10,000 square foot kid space, which is beautiful. We've got 38,000 square feet of just really dope church space that we're looking towards over 100,000 square feet. But I think what you mean by, you know, never being like fully like, okay, is we always want more, and we don't want more for the sake of more.
Well, I'm not talking about more stuff.
No, I'm talking
about more spiritual fruit.
I'm talking salvations, baptisms,
exactly.
Seats,
yes.
People in the seats. I mean, I told you the last few weeks, our attendance at Journey is on the rapid rise. And that doesn't satisfy us.
Yeah.
We're not like, oh man, great, we arrived.
Like, we've arrived. Exactly. That's arrived. What I was trying to communicate.
I think our burden is, no, Central Oregon needs to be saved. Lapine needs to be saved. There's too many people in poverty and brokenness and depression and strongholds of sexual deviance, of pedophilia and incest,
yeah,
and just in our region, in the South County that we live in, and then all over the place, we see constantly people, teachers caught with child porn, and we're just seeing this in our region. So when we say we're never satisfied and we long for more, what we're simply saying is we cannot tolerate that the devil has such a stronghold in this region. That do we celebrate 24 people saved Sunday? Yes. But it's like we can't even celebrate it very long before we say there are so many more
people
that need to be saved.
There
are still too many prisoners in our prisons in Oregon. There are too many people still addicted to drugs. I mean, I met a guy at church yesterday that just testified to being hooked on fentanyl and literally going to church. And he's like, man, you baptized me at a church in the park. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And he's like, no, you need to understand. Like, I got baptized a year ago at a church in Southern Oregon. But before I did, I smoked fentanyl in the bathroom. You know, he's like, I wasn't fully sold out for the Lord. I was hoping, he told me, that that would produce change. He said, I wanted change, so I got baptized, but it didn't do anything. He's like, I had to fully sell myself out for the Lord, you know, completely. And so he's like, I am clean, I am sober, I'm not on fentanyl. He's like, I have a testimony that, I mean, he was like,
wow,
I never thought it could happen, but it did. Yeah. And you baptized me, and
praise
God, it's here. And, and then I gave him a scripture reference after the worship. I don't know if you saw it, but a guy ran up to the platform and he quoted the scripture to me because he referenced it, because all I did was give him the reference, you know, and he clearly read it between when I told him and when the worship had started. And it was cool to see someone fully sold out. And so I just want to clarify to listener what we mean by the burden that God's put on us is it's a restlessness that sometimes kills you. You know, it's a grief that is overwhelming, because when you have the heart of God, your heart just hurts, you know, and you want it for everybody. You want it for your own family.
Yeah.
You want it for your kids, for, you know, you just want it for everybody. And it's, it would be easier to ignore and just go on with life than to engage in it, pray over it, and then invite other people into it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Cause it's hard.
Yeah.
But I would just make the point that this guy who you're talking about, like, his life isn't just changed. He will change.
Yeah.
It will change from here on.
Amen.
Like his lineage will change.
Yeah. Let's go.
And that's like, that's just one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So every one that is reached is more than one.
Amen. It's the seed, Kara.
Yes.
Because when they die to themselves, they now have the potential of God inside of them, which is absolutely
limitless.
A perfect word.
Yeah.
It's limitless.
Yes.
Every one of us has limitless potential because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And when we understand that this triune God is now in us, that we have the Father who's given us approval because of the Son, and we have the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, well, it is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You're right. Because now the fruit that can be produced is...
Yeah.
And because when they save someone, now that person has limitless potential.
Totally.
And when they save someone, that person,
it
just goes
on.
So that's the fire that's raging right now. And that's where you look at Charlie Kirk's life. A bullet may have taken out his life, but it certainly did not stop the message.
No, it just spread
multiplied it.
It multiplied it.
You just took one life.
Which is what persecution does.
Hallelujah. It does. It did it through church history.
Yeah.
It's done it over and over, even in our own short life of the nation that we live in, this great nation of America, those who have lost their lives, you know, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, the Abraham Lincoln's, you know, the John F. Kennedy's, you know, you look at these people who have stood out in history for being taken out.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that make history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually ironic that the assassins are actually only elevating the message.
Yeah.
And I don't... this is where the devil, he loses every time. Mm-hmm. He did it with Christ.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate assassination. It's the ultimate. And of course, Christ willingly gave down his life, but it is clear there's a spiritual war.
Yeah.
And death is because of Satan. And it looked like Satan had the final say with Christ. But the resurrection and life defeated him.
Right.
He had the final say. And I'm grateful that he's not just a martyr where we say, well, what a great teacher we have that he laid down his life, but he is alive forevermore.
Yeah.
He is the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty, and he is coming again soon. The book of Revelation tells us he's coming.
Yeah.
And he has on his thigh the King of Kings. And
he
has a word protruding, I mean, a sword protruding from his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, and John just says when he gets a glimpse of him in chapter one with eyes of fire and hair with white like wool, and you know, you get this imagery of Jesus, just the firmness of wisdom and judgment and greatness. He's great, you know, he's glorified. Like, that's the God we serve.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well,
so good.
Kara, we had to come on here and at least process today.
Yeah.
We've joked in the past about these podcasts, and this is why we probably need to do them more often. It's like free counseling.
Right.
You know, like we just get to process through what we're going through in our lives.
Yeah.
But we also just get to acknowledge that this world is full of good, because every good gift is from our Father of Lights.
Yeah.
It's also full of bad, mm-hmm. because evil exists.
Mm-hmm.
Christ has not yet come, and there is not yet a new created heavens and earth. And
so
there is bad, and there's also ugly, which is what we have been faced with in the last week.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, God is a God of glory, and all of those things could be eventually pointed towards his glory.
Yeah.
And that's what we've seen.
Amen.
We want to just acknowledge today of all the evils that have happened in this world. We've seen a lot in our own nation in the last few weeks, but particularly the culmination of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, that it did not cause the church to shrink back. It did not bring more darkness into the world.
Mm-hmm.
That evil only elevated the light,
mm-hmm.
and has spurred us on. And for those who are listening right now, you need to know that you have an opportunity to be a light wherever you are. And start with the humility of prayer and getting in the Word, and then asking God.
Yeah.
Let's ask God together what that looks like.
Yeah.
And let's ask God together, and then have the courage to respond when God gives us the answer. And we're going to do that, and it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I look forward to it. These podcasts in the future are going to get better, Kara. I'm grateful we started these. And once again, we'll confess to the podcast world out there, this is just an audible version of this, but the video version is coming.
It's coming.
I'm going to prophesy it until I testify.
Right?
We did film.
We tried.
We did film a video one. It was our second time trying.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just, you know, it's just hurdles and speed bumps, but those things don't stop.
Right.
And so it is coming, a video version, and maybe none of y'all care, but we're just going to do this so that we can even relate to our family even better.
Yeah.
You know, that when we are confessions of a pastor, we're just simply given an opportunity behind the scenes to say, we're real people just like you.
Absolutely.
We're in the trenches together. We are one family with one body and with one head. That is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the church is the bride together, and we look forward to the groom. So,
amen.
Hey, thank you all for listening. I would love to close in prayer. And it's been an enjoyable conversation. So thank you, Kara.
Yes, thank you.
And Lord, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you would shine brighter than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Although we grieve the loss of Charlie Kirk, we celebrate that he is in glory. We lift up his family, Erica, his beautiful children, and the many who are hurting, whether it be his family or whether it be a nation or the world that's watching. And we ask in the powerful name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would comfort. We thank you for your word that says that you are the God of all comfort, and that, Lord, you comfort us so that we can comfort others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we love the beauty of how you operate, that you don't leave us the same. You meet us in our grief, and then you allow us to love other people the way you love us.
Mm-hmm.
So God, would you create a movement right now unlike anything the world's ever seen, a great awakening where churches would be so full that we need to start new churches.
Yeah.
God, would you raise up new leaders, young people, raise up new pastors, evangelists. Would you raise up new apologists, new political leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Would you raise up leaders in our age, God? May we learn much from the last few years, that it's not just the last generation that's going to lead, but God, you are raising up the current generation to live like never before. Mm-hmm. So we say, go, God, go.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, we say, be glorified. We ask Heavenly Father that you would be drawing people to you and open up our eyes. As Jesus, you told your church, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. May this be a sensitive time for us to open up the ears of our hearts. Jesus, as you taught us, may we be sensitive to the signs of the time
yes.
that you are coming soon. We sense it and we want to be aware of what you're doing and be a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So God, bring healing to families where the enemy has caused harm. We ask that you would bring healing in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who are hurting and the enemy is lying, saying, I'm not sure I could be used, but let me tell you, that's a lie. God loves to redeem. He loves to celebrate and get the glory that the least of these are the ones that he chooses. So surrender your life today in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord, that you use anyone who's willing and is surrendered. And so we ask that a young generation in every school across America would be strong and courageous for such a time as this. May they be bold. Bring them a clarity in their mind. May they have sound wisdom that comes from you, God. May they be able to argue against the enemy. May they take every thought captive. And God, we just ask that through all this, it's all about you, Jesus. So we thank you for these things today in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hey, we'll see you next time on Confessions of a Pastor.
Thanks for joining us on the journey of Confessions of a Pastor. Please hit subscribe and rate. We are better together. See you next time.